I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
I'm April, VP of the cutting-edge sex toy company Hot Octopus, and I dedicate my life to the business of sex.
We are on a mission to teach you how to have hot sex, deep intimacy, and how to make your own rules for who you are as a sexual being.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Shameless Sex Podcast. Just so you know, I'm recording outside in my actually very beautiful yard. The sun actually came out. You might hear some birds chirping. You might hear my dog bark. I don't know. Maybe the garbage truck is going to go by. Anything's possible. Some wind. I don't know. Raccoons. Who knows? I am here with my guest, Samantha Stelk. We actually both live in Santa Cruz. We took the same contact improv dance class a long time ago with Daniel Molnar, who's awesome. I've taught workshops with him before, Tantra and Motion workshops. I've probably talked about the podcast before. And this is a bonus episode. And what that means is we're not doing any ads. Yay! We were trying to do this once a month, and then we kind of lost track a while ago. Well, we still are offering them on the occasion, and it's our gift to you as the listeners to have an ad-free ad. Some of you complain about ads. You know, you don't like the ads, and we totally get that. It'd be nice if we didn't have to do them, but we do dedicate a lot of time to this, so we do need to make some money. And so we want to do these offerings on the occasion for you all so that you can have – it's a gift from us. So there will be no April today. She's slammed with work. What's new for her job at Hot Octopus. So we will miss her. We love you, April. We are sending you lots of love from our hearts and our yonis. This episode, so Samantha is a pleasure and empowerment coach. So she does sexual empowerment coach. Sorry, pleasure and sexual empowerment coach. Got her right. Okay. And so you do work specifically in the region of how to help people tap into their most empowered, free sexual selves. Because it's a bonus episode, I'm not even going to read the bio. We are going to dive in and just let you share a little more about you. So let's start with the same question we always ask all of our guests about how you got to where you are today in this journey of sexuality, whether it's you teaching about sex, but also your maybe a little more about your personal journey. And I'm sure we'll dive into more of that later, too.
Yeah, so really my own personal life, the things that I've been through, childhood traumas, and also I grew up with this sense of feeling inadequate, unworthy. I know these are very common narratives. And so I wasn't very orgasmic growing up, and I didn't self-pleasure. I didn't really have the inclination or the desire to. And it's not something I really thought about. When I was sexual, I was usually under some kind of substances. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel comfortable just being on my own, connecting sexually with myself or with another. And when I finally did start trying to self-pleasure in my late teens, early 20s, it was very odd experience for me.
Uncomfortable. Yeah.
I was very numb. I didn't really feel much. And it was very challenging for me to orgasm. And I felt clueless. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know like techniques or things like that. And so over time I knew that there was more. And so I started to do my own research. I found teachers like Psalms Isadora and Layla Martin. And through finding Layla Martin, I just binge watched all of her videos on YouTube, and she actually led me to this center called Hridaya in Mexico, a meditation center, but they also were tantra based, and so I learned more there. And then eventually I did her 1 year coaching program, the Sex, Love, and Relationship Coaching Program in 2019. Mm. So it wasn't until I joined that program, like I could have really superficial clitoral orgasms.
With hands or vibrators or?
With hands. Yeah. I didn't use toys okay. really. I do now. I love, pleasure wands.
Uh-huh,
and
yeah. That rumbly vibration.
Yeah. I mostly just use a glass dildo.
Okay.
Still and my hand, but I'm not against vibrators. Yeah. I just haven't explored them that much.
Yeah.
And so, but since doing that program, we had to self-pleasure for home plays every day of the week, 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely got to know myself even more. And from that, I started to have internal orgasms, G-spot orgasms, cervical orgasms, and full body orgasms that could last longer, you know, have really cathartic releases, emotional releases. And I just knew that if it was possible for me to expand orgasmically in that way, that I could help other women also do the same.
I love that. I identify with, so when I was younger, I didn't self-pleasure. I just was never really inspired to. I remember I did another podcast with someone. I remember being aroused or having sexual desire at a young age, you know, like 12, 13, having crushes on people. And I remember I would like make out with the wall in the shower and that would turn me on, like practice making out. But I never really explored my genitals. I talked to someone else in a podcast, like I made out with a shower wall too. But I didn't really explore my genitals, but I would check them out in a way where I was like, huh, what is this? And like check out the smell and things like that. But it was never, I didn't really have this, I guess, I don't know if I really knew to explore it or had this desire. That definitely wasn't shame. It was just that I didn't have this inspiration. I didn't have that experience that a lot of young people have where they're like grinding against something and they get turned on, you know, they're five and like, whoa, what is that? It feels really good. They have an orgasm. Or people's stories about sliding down the pole on the playground and some people learning how to be orgasmic at a really young age. April of this podcast used to hump her, grind against her teddy bear at a really young age. And then also she's had some grinding against like little other girlfriends at a young age too. And so she started having orgasms really young. So I think it's different for all people. There's a worthiness issues. Was there ideas about sex being shameful when you were younger too, or just kind of didn't really know much about it?
Yeah, it wasn't really talked about, but actually I did when I was younger, like, it's funny, I don't haven't really told that many people, but because this is the Shameless Sex podcast.
Yeah, we're shameless.
When in elementary school, like that young, me and my one friend would like eat each other out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you're like, I don't know if this is, but it feels good.
But I knew there was a sense of it being not okay, or that it was wrong, or that we could get in trouble.
Which we don't actually think is true, but yeah, that you could get in trouble, right? Yeah. Then it was like, we're doing something bad.
Yeah.
Because also, if no one talks about it, you know, and you don't see it anywhere, but you're like, we're doing this thing. But it's so funny how it's embedded in us, like that this is not okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Even those of us who don't have really strong religious conditioning, like it's still all around us.
Yeah. We're still being fed it in through media and various things and just the way that we're raised and the conversations that we aren't having or hearing. And so, yeah, it's deep in there. I can totally resonate with that. I wasn't told that sex was bad or shameful, but definitely had some ideas about things, or especially as my own pleasure as a vulva-owning person, you know, female woman identifying, that I didn't have these messages that my pleasure was equally as important as the penis-owning individuals that I was eventually going to be having sex with, because as someone who identifies as mostly straight. So a lot of listeners here, there's an ambulance going by. Mm-hmm. a lot of listeners are already like, okay, I'm probably asking a couple questions. Number one, the homework that you had where you're self-pleasuring 5 days a week. My guess is the homework was not to be goal-oriented, but
correct,
like try to get to orgasm, right? It was just to figure out what your body likes and explore that and just get curious.
Correct.
And for a certain period of time.
Yeah, they were guided practices for about 30 minutes. And there was even one module where we were encouraged not to orgasm. No, like just
like
to,
stay away from it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
yeah,
it was all, it's really in depth, her program.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're really extensive. Like we would give, we went through this like birthing process where we would actually like be giving birth like in our,
yeah,
in our room.
On your own, not all on a screen, a computer screen.
Yeah. Okay. On yeah. Uh-huh. They're pre-recorded.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, wild things. It was really fun though.
Yeah, probably a little edgy too.
Very.
Yeah.
I mean, I was pretty open at that point. Like, I'm just like, I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We just they hit that point. Like, I'm ready for a change, for yeah. a shift, and to embrace it.
And when I dive in, I pretty much dive all in.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, now looking back, I'm going all in, which I think is helpful for a lot of folks. I think is want to normalize feeling fear and resistance, especially something that's new. Or like, what if I can't get this? I think a lot of people are really impatient. So I guess that was the other question I was going to ask you. How long did it take you to start seeing shifts and to start being able to have these other, you said you before you had kind of more superficial orgasms that are probably more like, you know, 2 seconds of euphoric feeling, maybe some muscle contractions in the pelvic floor, but how long did it take you to learn how to have more internal or full bodied or G-spot or cervical orgasms?
Less than a few weeks, I would say.
Wow. I guess, but you're still doing 5 times a week. So yeah, that's pretty good.
Consistency, you know, really having an intention, returning to your attention and just, yeah, being patient with yourself and just doing it over and over again and really slowing down and being present with the sensations.
Yeah. Which I think is the hardest for a lot of people.
Yeah.
They're in their heads, they're goal oriented. A lot of people, I don't think, have even experienced slowing down and just trying to be present with the sensations. And that's why we obviously often say that great sex is like a meditation. Even great masturbation mm-hmm. is, right? Because the monkey mind is constantly pulling you out of that presence. You know, what am I going to have for breakfast tomorrow? And what do I look like? And I'm not going to do this. Or I'm not going to orgasm. And instead coming back to just sensation, sensation, sensation over again. And that's why it's a practice. Oh my God, my dog wants me to throw the ball. We're not doing
absolutely.
That right now. But yeah. but can be really daunting. So what you're saying is a really helpful tip is consistency, just really committing to that, not doing like, oh, I'll do it maybe once or twice this week, like making it more of a regular practice.
Yeah, really prioritizing that space and your pleasure time.
Mm-hmm. And then getting away from the goals. So it's so curious about that one of actually having the goal to not orgasm. And what happened when you did that? Was that hard?
Yeah, definitely. Even, yeah, especially in the beginning. I mean, that can still creep in for me at times. Mm-hmm. And I have to remind myself to return to my breath and to slow down and just be with the present moment. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I have been more yang energy, more just always on the go, going, going, going. And so, yeah, it's definitely like counterintuitive for me. It was at first. So it took some reconditioning to get yeah. there.
So yang energy is the more like linear, go, go, go doer. And the yin energy is more like flow and presence. And that wasn't really the default for you.
Exactly.
Totally identify with that. So can April. We're such doers. We're like, all right, I got an appointment now. I got to do this. I'm going to have an orgasm in 5 minutes. and instead, it's a lot of learning. I too have, through a lot of practices of a lot of dedicated time to practice, I've learned so much more about slowing down, and it's a lot easier now for that to be the natural default, but it took a lot of work. And we'll get to this in a little bit with listeners, because you actually offer group work and one-on-one work on how people can support you, because I would imagine in your case, this work probably would have been really hard for you to do if you didn't have teachers and instructors, right? Like to keep you on track and teach you things.
Certainly. Yeah. I would have been in the dark for a long time and probably wouldn't have progressed as much as I have.
And how has this changed? Okay. Well, actually another question. Did you have a partner while you were doing this work, or were you just on your own?
I was single at the time.
And you think that's probably made it easier or harder, or do you think that affects anything?
Yeah, it definitely was. It was a weird transition time in my life because I was traveling since like 2012. And then I was living at home for about 5 months. So I even had to like navigate this while like being at home at my parents' house.
Massage pleasure for 30 minutes, parents. Yeah.
And, but yeah, I've noticed that because I have a partner now. I noticed that when I do have a partner, I do self-pleasure less. Mm-hmm. And so I have to make more time in my life to do that and remind myself. So I think that being alone, it was easier to just fully devote myself to the practices.
Yeah, almost like there's more spaciousness there. So you, and you live with your partner now?
I do.
Yeah, so that makes it a little more tricky of like, well, I mean, you could still say, hey, I need 30 minutes to myself, but it's so much easier to prioritize when you are doing that on your own. And I think a lot of people assume that they want to rely on for other people to give them their pleasure and teach mm-hmm. them their pleasure, which, you know, probably isn't, I'm sure you would agree, isn't necessarily where it should start. It starts mm-hmm. with us. And two, they think that they should do this work when they're in a partnership as opposed to on their own. Like, oh, I'm a single person, so why would I do this? But in fact, it sounds like it almost is an even easier or better opportunity. Not that you can't do it partnered, but will be easier to dedicate and find that time if you are running solo right now.
Yeah, there's a few points on this that I would like to speak to.
Yeah.
I think it does start with you, as you said, and you're really building your own personal safety in your body, and you're building the foundation for pleasure, to feel these deep states of orgasmic bliss, because this is a very tender, it can be very tender for most people. So doing it alone is so important because you're able to feel safe within yourself and in your own body. You're building and you're rewiring neural pathways in your system to feel more pleasure. And I've noticed that it was easier at first for me to have really deep internal orgasms by myself.
Yeah.
And even prior to starting the program, when I had a partner for a brief period of time, it was almost nearly impossible for me to orgasm with them. Mm-hmm. And so you really need to get to know your own body first before it's more helpful to know your own body first before connecting with another person. Mm-hmm. And you feel more secure within yourself, more confident within yourself, because you have this deep knowing within yourself what you like and what feels good for you, and you're able to communicate that more easily to your partner.
Yeah, it's like step one is the self-exploration with you, understanding what your body likes. And then, you know, another step is when you want to integrate that into a partnership, then it's also the skill building and knowing how to actually ask for it. Something that's really scary for a lot of people. A lot of people are like, well, I can give myself these orgasms on my own, but when it comes to a partnership, it's so hard. Why is that so hard? Or they have this idea that there's only one way to orgasm. They're broken if they don't have it just from penetrative sex alone. What advice do you have for people who have an understanding of maybe what their body likes and they can explore it in a powerful way on their own, but when it comes to the partnership, that's really challenging to integrate that and almost, you know, replicate that in front of or with another person?
Yeah, what has worked for me is having these conversations before you're in the bedroom, before you're in those sexual intimate spaces, because there can be a lot of charge around them when you're in it. And it can be harder sometimes, I've noticed, to voice yourself when you're
naked,
your naked bodies are with each other. I highly recommend just having these conversations. Hopefully you can, and you feel safe enough to have these conversations with your partner and that they're open enough. And also, you know, sharing your challenges, sharing if you have insecurities or around feeling like you take too long to orgasm. Again, you guys can go in there with a shared intention just to go really slow. That there's no rush, there's no destination, and to just allow that weight off your shoulders and just being present moment to moment. Because again, it's okay if you get in your head, acknowledge it, but then just drop back into the breath, drop back into the sensations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's this dance, this back and forth mm-hmm. thing. And so even when you're partnered, you're doing that in your own head too. One thing that I've done with partners before is if I get in my head, I start to get goal oriented or something while we're having sex, I'll actually tell them I'm really in my head right now. I'll like press pause and I'm really in my head right now. Can we take a moment so that I can get back in my body? Or maybe there's something that you can do to help me. And like sometimes it's like spanking my ass or something. I'm like, whoa, okay, I'm in my body now. you know, and that's, I think, helpful to have those conversations with your partners before that you might start doing that. Like, hey, but, you know, here's the journey that I'm on. Are you down to be on this journey with me? This is what it will look like. And here's some things I might start doing as I'm learning about myself, that when I notice myself leaving my body or, you know, you all those things, just like here's so that they're not shocked in the middle of it. All of a sudden you're like, hey, I'm going to press pause. And they're like, what the fuck is pause? So you recommend that too, like sharing all of that and kind of creating this shared intention of how you're going to explore that space as a continuous journey, not just like one session and that's it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's like a life. It's like can be a lifelong path.
Yes.
A lot of people think they have that conversation once with a partner or just with themselves. They practice things once and that it's good. And I think with self-pleasuring and with great partnered sex is just this constant practice, you know, sometimes two steps forward, one step back, hopefully three steps forward at times, but it's not just like, you know, I think it's when people feel lost and stagnant. It's when they are not on that forever journey. I would imagine you are, right? You're going to be doing this work with people and, you know, as now teaching people, but also probably your own self practice needs to continue as part of that work.
Absolutely. It's a continuous unfolding.
Yeah. Yeah. It just continues to happen that way. So then what about, so the different, just for orgasms here. So you talk about the superficial orgasms that you experience more just with your hands. There's less presence there, less understanding of what your body likes and about what the techniques to even try. And then you learn through these trainings, they gave you various ideas of different techniques to try, right? Do you have any? Okay, so obviously we can't do this podcast for 5 million hours, and you have Facebook. I know you have some videos on Facebook and your group work coming up, but do you have any tips for our listeners if they want to start? So we talk about presence, slowness, but if they're like, I don't even know where to move my hands and what to do. Do you have any tips for them on how to just like start to navigate that, to explore?
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, what I love, some practices that I love are eye gazing and pussy gazing, just to really feel yourself and to look at how beautiful you are and look how beautiful you're vulva is. I know sometimes that's not always the first reaction, but over time you start to really see what a precious, beautiful being it is. Mm-hmm. And so you start to develop this intimacy with yourself. And I also really love sensual massage, warming up your entire body.
And this is you doing it for yourself.
Yes.
So eye gazing is you in a mirror.
You in a
pussy
mirror.
Gazing is you in a mirror as
yes.
well. Okay, cool. And then warm ups, letting your hands sensually touch you the way people want a lover to do that, but they're doing it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So you can do this with oil or without, but like light feather touch, or you can play with different pressure, you know, scratching, grabs, whatever you like. And also, then I have a lot of breast massage audios guiding you through a breast massage, because your breasts are connected to your heart and your endocrine system, to your hormones. And so by activating your breasts and giving them some love, giving your entire body some love, you're already beginning to open your entire being up to pleasure. And then,
so you're doing like not even going for the genitals, right? You're just talking about the whole body.
Correct.
Before. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most people are like, I'm going to touch myself for 2 seconds, genitals, like they saw in porn. So you're like, you're taking your time. You're not even getting the genitals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't really watch a lot of porn growing up. So I think.
Probably a good thing.
That was helpful for me.
Yeah.
It was an empty slate starting out. But yeah, really loving up every inch of your body, and you start to awaken the pleasure in your body and the sensations in your body. And then you can move to your vulva, and just like, you know, you would get a body massage, like massaging your inner and outer labia, massaging around the entrance to the vagina, the perineum, which is the muscle between the anus.
The taint.
I'm sure you've talked about that quite a bit.
Yeah.
And massaging your clitoris, experimenting with different motions, different pressures.
It's like you don't even need to know. It's like just letting your hands try all these different things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like circles, tapping, kneading.
Yeah.
Things that, again, you don't see in porn. They're just like, and that's, which again, you didn't really watch a lot of porn, but things that people aren't seeing.
Yeah.
And they have no idea.
Yeah. We're relearning.
Mm-hmm. Or some people learning for the first time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah, just taking as long as you need. And that could be a few minutes, a few hours, a few days, mm-hmm. and then slowly, slowly working your way inward. Mm-hmm. And I would recommend using your hands at first, just so that you create that connection between your hands and your body. And yeah, exploring the inside, just moving slowly in, working sometimes in a clockwise position, what they call mapping.
Mm. Yeah, like a vulva mapping?
Yeah, mapping mm-hmm. on yourself and just noticing what is arising and holding yourself in love with, and moving with curiosity and compassion throughout this entire process.
Mm. And so noticing places there, you know, slowly, here, it's a little numb there. Or here, oh, there's some light sensation. Or here, mm-hmm. a lot of sensation. Or here's some pain. And just being compassionate with that, not like fighting it and trying to analyze it, but just being present with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a yoni massage when I was in Mexico for the first time by this woman. And it was a very enlightening experience. It was beautiful just to be held in that really sacred space and healing space with that woman. And I learned a lot. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
I don't even know that about my body. Yeah. I've had that. We've done episodes on vulva mapping. I had a yoni massage. It was like almost like a psychedelic journey without drugs or anything like that. And then that was separate. And I also worked with a sexological body worker who did vulva mapping. And what's so cool about that, working with someone else, you don't have to give anything to them. That's the mm-hmm. other thing I think we get in our heads, like, I'm receiving, therefore I need to give. It's harder to be present. But when you're just receiving that, you can be sometimes it's still hard to receive, but full surrender to just the learning and the uncovering. And you probably learned a lot in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such powerful work. So is this, you're talking about, do you only work with vulva-owning individuals?
Yes. Okay. At this time.
Was that training with Layla just for vulva folks, or was it for all kinds of folks?
I believe women identifying folks.
Okay. Correct. So folks identify as women.
Yes.
Do you think that penis owning individuals who have a hard time having orgasms or having just kind of superficial quick ones and hear about these full body things and have never experienced it, do you, even though you don't work with them, do you think this journey is a similar thing for them if they want to
talk? Absolutely. Yeah.
Probably not a lot of different. I mean, we are made of the same parts. They're just put in different places.
Right. One's just inward, one's just outward.
Yeah. And then there's some in-betweens in there too as well. So with intersex folks, et cetera. So, so for the penis owners listening right now, you can do this too. Or
yes, you can.
Yeah. And a lot of them are like, why would I want to do that? You know, like I just do my quick strokes and I have my orgasm. It's good. And so here's my other question for you.
It could be so much better.
Exactly. I was going to ask you, how has this changed your life? Both. We can understand with sex, you're having more, just more everything. But have you seen this shift your life even outside of sex too, by becoming more orgasmic and sensual and in your body?
Yeah. I feel more free, more because the sexuality is deeply connected to the throat, my voice, and my singing has gotten a lot better and more fluid, and I just feel happier. You know, the things that I've dealt with in the past, like sometimes they still arise, but the way that I perceive them or the way that I hold them or move through them has become more gentle, more loving, more easeful. And yeah, I do think it has allowed me to attract the partner that I'm with currently, who is super awesome and just down for everything That I love doing. So
that's great. Is my partner. I'm like, yes. You're just so excited for just my pleasure in general. But it's so you're saying through the work, you're finally able to really call in someone to meet you there. Had you not done that, it might not been the case.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe in that. I'm like, I like laws of attraction and manifestation. And I think for some of our listeners, it's like, woo, woo, la, la. But I do. Even if we take that out of the equation, like this magnetic force and the universe is on your side, if we wanted to even just take that language out, to say that when we do the work, whether it's about sexuality or childhood trauma, worthiness stuff, and we're single and we do the work, we change, we shift. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the likelihood of the people that you bring in and you start to, whether it's friends or lovers, they're going to be more likely to be on that level because you've already done that work. Some people will still kind of revert to old ways of being and choose their old, the people that remind them of their trauma and things like that. But for the most part, it only makes it so that you are able to be more met by people that are at your, not, I mean, you almost say level because it sounds like a hierarchy, but at the place that you are now in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a physical and energetic resonance on that the people that you're calling in because you've been doing that work. You've been stepping into your power in that way. And yeah, it's beautiful because you don't have to try as much anymore. And I think there are still like flashes from your past that like creep in kind of to test you sometimes.
Two steps forward, one step back. Yeah. Sometimes five steps back. Yeah.
But it's all a part of this beautiful process of life. And yeah.
If it was all easy, it would be boring.
Yeah.
We wouldn't even know how to experience all the joy. Cause we'd be like,
exactly.
It's all just kind of numb. I like Chris Ryan, who wrote Sex at Dawn and has the podcast Tangentially Speaking, says, I think, and someone else says that comfort is a coffin. I forgot where that one comes from. But he says, we're so taught to just be comfortable. And he's like, comfort is the absence of sensation. Mm-hmm. And when actually part of life and of feeling is discomfort. Is being the tested or in the stretch zone. And I think with sexuality, it can be the most testing and the most uncomfortable for people, especially based on past wounding and hurt and all those things too. And so for folks listening, if you're one of those, it's really uncomfortable to be sexual with myself, with other people, know that, that can change. You know, that can shift. And that part of that is practice and this dedication that you're talking about.
Yeah, it certainly gets easier over time. And it helps you lean into the discomfort more.
Yeah, totally. And I felt that I was so into just being comfortable all the time, which I still like comfort. Not to say that you shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. I mean, we need that for safety and relaxation. But I had a partner, not my current partner, but really pushed me kind of in an aggressive way. I was like, can this be a little more gentle? But I'm really grateful to him because he taught me so much about being in discomfort and pushing myself to look more deeply at myself and, you know, I think the way I think, why do I think that? Or, you know, what's this behavior about? Where did I learn this? And why is it so scary to step outside of my comfort zone? And the more I practiced being uncomfortable, the more comfortable I became there, which is so funny that discomfort became just a part of life. And I still have moments where it comes up where I'm like, discomfort, I don't like this. I think there's a big difference between discomfort and panic. Have you seen the diagram that's, comfort, stretch, panic, the circles around each other. The middle circle's comfort, it's where we're our day to day, you know, I go to work, da da da, I got this dialed in. I'm not learning anything
new.
Autopilot, yeah. But which we still want to spend a lot of time there. Stretch zone is this little circle that's outside of that. That's the discomfort and that's the learning. That's five times a week you're self-pleasuring to learn this new thing and it's edgy and at times you probably don't want to do it and resistance comes up and but that's where the growth comes in. And then there's panic in the whole abyss of the outside. And that's when we've gone a little too far. We're like, right. Like we decided to go to the sex club and I love some sex clubs, but we're there and we're naked in front of people and we're just so not ready for it. And we're freaking the fuck out. You know, and that in those moments, like, okay, now I got to go back to comfort zone to calm down. And so it's this dance where we'll accidentally push ourselves a little beyond boundaries. This is why boundaries are really important. Mm-hmm. But we're mostly wanting to dance between comfort and stretch as opposed to, you know, panic, panic, panic. And sometimes panic can happen a lot based on trauma and stuff too. I want to ask another question. Some people are like, what the hell is a cervical orgasm? They've heard probably a lot about G-spot orgasms. how do you describe a cervical orgasm?
Yeah. The cervix mm-hmm. is the entrance to the uterus. Mm-hmm. It's at the very back.
It's like the stopper.
Yeah. The very back of the vaginal canal. It feels like a donut, yeah. Spongy. For me, those are the most emotional releases, the deepest emotional releases that I have, where it's a very beautiful experience, but it will bring me to tears. And I just feel like I'm releasing so much from my past and from my body, and which also is very cathartic, but, and that is from really relaxing and surrendering during the act of self-pleasuring or during love. And, you know, you're penetrating that area or massaging around it, however you're touching it. But yeah, they're really beautiful, because they feel like when you're self-pleasuring in this way, you're also reaching the deep layers of the subconscious mind. And so you're doing so much healing on the deepest levels of your being. Mm-hmm. And which it takes a lot of openness and surrender to be in that space.
Yeah, I would imagine the further, and this is my experience too, the further in you're going in your body, the more time for the relaxation and warm up you probably mm-hmm. will need, because it's deep inside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, on the entrance to the womb and, you know, all these different parts. And it's probably for a lot of people have received. Experience some sort of trauma, even if it's not from non-consensual acts of sexual violence. Yeah. You know, we can have trauma from consenting and complying, or even to ourselves, shoving a tampon up there and yeah. all these things, where now we have to show our body that it's worth taking time for and being really gentle with and creating that safety. So I guess my question for you, the birds are going crazy. Can you have like a cervical quickie? You're like, I have 5 minutes. I'm going to have a cervical orgasm.
I haven't yet, but it could be possible if, say, you're in a really safe lovership or partnership and you've been doing this for a while, then I'm sure it could, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you think cervical orgasms, in my experience, they're a little elusive, because they require, there's so much for me, you know, I could probably count on two hands how many of them I've had. For me, there's so much that come into play. Again, stress levels, safety, mm-hmm. You know, the connection, if I'm with you with a partner. I've never had one actually on my own, but that, hello, birdie, wherever you are. The connection with my partner and how where we're at. So it's like hit or miss. And if sometimes if I'm trying to replicate it, like today I'm going to have a cervical orgasm, I have not found a way to do that. Do you feel like in your experience, you can spend so much time practicing that for you now, if you, I guess that's a goal, so maybe it's not always mm-hmm. available, but is it an elusive thing, or do you feel like you have a really good understanding of how to give that to yourself or have that with a partner now?
Yeah, I think it's feeling, like you said earlier, a sense of relaxation, safety, and trust with yourself mm-hmm. and the person and or the person that you're with. But I feel like it's more intuitive than that. Like I really love the glass dildos because they're really safe and they can reach really far back there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can tell like if I'm moving it and massaging my cervix with it, and then if I pull it up and stimulate my G-spot with it, like I can feel a difference between the two. Mm-hmm. So I can, depending on where I position it, it feels different. It feels noticeably different between. Yeah.
But it took you to practice to understand that. Yeah. And then the presence part too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where are these birds, man? They are so funny.
They're everywhere.
They're awesome. It's a very nice day. They're like, woohoo, cervical orgasms and pleasure. They're cheering us on. We've done podcasts on cervical orgasms before. I think a lot of people have asked questions about that. I'm not going to name any names. It's definitely not Layla Martin, but there is a sex educator that has made some comments that, which I have my minor triggers about, that this clitoral orgasm is the inferior orgasm, and this cervical orgasm is the superior one. Like, it's the creme de la creme, and that if you're not giving that to your partner, you need to learn how to do so, and that is what creates a... And I do. There's one thing I do agree with. It's like the more we learn about our body and learn, and then if we're open to having those deeper, full-bodied experiences that are intimate and can bring you to tears, and there's cathartic releases of deep emotion. Yes, I agree that that path is more powerful than maybe not exploring that. But I don't agree with shaming people out of if it's hard for you to do it, you can't do it, you don't even want to do that work, and you want to just have orgasms this one way. Would you agree with that? Like, there's not one way that works for everyone, and there's nothing wrong with people if they can't or don't want to or have struggle with having orgasms in all these other ways too.
Yeah, I do. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, every body and everybody is mm-hmm. different, and we're all in a different place along our path in this realm. And so it's all beautiful. Like, even still, I need to massage my clitoris while penetration to orgasm, mm-hmm. even with G-spot or cervical. Mm-hmm. So
those people that are asking,
yeah,
how do I have orgasms penetration? Like, well, we do know that the clitoris has the most nerve ending. Yes. So add that too, and don't be afraid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've had partners before that maybe felt uncomfortable with me massaging.
That their penis should do it all.
Yeah.
Or the fingers or whatever they're
doing. It's just not true. And so it's really beautiful to, if that's what you need, then just, you're learning what your own body needs, mm-hmm. and that's what's really important.
I've seen diagrams of different genitals and how we have, some people have a ton of nerve endings internally and others people don't. And most people, most vulva owners, have more externally, as we know, mm-hmm. but some people just have more internally in different places than other folks. And I don't know why we wouldn't assume that. Because we're all so different. Mm-hmm. So just like some people, you know, their nipples are extra sensitive and some people they're not. And I know that we can learn to sensitize things, but why wouldn't we think that our nerve structures are different in each and every one? And then also you add the mental component. So it's just like you said, where it's a relearning for a lot of people, it's a brand new path, but it's a really, really powerful one. And I'm so glad you're doing the work that you do. So now I want to know more about the work that you do. So this is releasing, I think, January 15th of 2021. Happy New Year, everyone. And so what you're going to talk about is a program that you have coming up, I think, in February. But for our listeners who listen later, you'll be doing other releases of group work. You do one-on-one stuff. But tell us about what that program is like.
Yeah, so I have a 12-week program coming up, Sensual Metamorphosis. It's starting February 1st. Mm-hmm. The container is open to 10 more women. And this program is really to help you access greater states of pleasure and thus arouse limitless self-love.
Mm. It's all online.
Yes, yeah, uh-huh. It's all online. It's 12 weeks and there's 6 modules. So each module is 2 weeks. And within that 2 weeks, there is pre-recorded audios that I send you around meditation, breath work, self-pleasuring, and as well you get a one-on-one coaching session with me, and there's also 6 group coaching sessions where we do a live embodiment call and a heart circle with the other women in the program, because I truly believe when we're being witnessed through our journey and through this really vulnerable process, that's where it's even more integrating further into our bodies.
Mm.
Yeah.
Are people going to be self-pleasuring on camera in front of other people or you, or is that just in privacy and they're kind of more sharing with each other?
Yeah, that will be in the privacy of their own homes. Okay. We might, I'm also offering Jade Egg throughout that mm-hmm. course. And, you know, even if it, in the embodiment calls, if the women want to turn off their camera, that's whatever they feel comfortable with.
Yeah, they can do that. They are there.
But I am thinking of having some, like a live Jade Egg as well.
Mm, that's awesome. Do you know Betty Dodson? She passed away, actually. She was 92. Betty Dodson is known, she's like a total spitfire feminist, like part of the sexual revolution. And she used to do, she's not sex bod. She is, wait, no, that's sexological body work. Is she body sex? Oh my God. What is the name of it? She has workshops, again, she just passed away at 92, mm-hmm. which is sad because April and I just signed up to do her. Well, we wouldn't, it's COVID. We would have gone and done it in November. But anyways, she would have people in a group, in a circle, in person, super edgy, in person, naked, holding mirrors, doing vagina show and tell, like vulva show and tell, and then self-pleasuring the same room as other people. Super edgy. You're not having people go that far. Plus, it's COVID, so where everything's online. So what you're talking about is much more gentle, but I mean, we were going to go do that with her, which is...
Yeah, I have, you know. I have done that in Mexico.
Oh, you did?
With about 30 women and Layla Martin.
Okay.
And that, yeah, we were like doing jade egg weightlifting with each other and...
Yeah.
And really beautiful rituals. Yeah, where we were looking at each other's vulvas and just saying how beautiful they were. And
it's powerful.
Yeah, dancing naked and all that fun stuff. But
yeah, edgy for a lot of folks. Like, I'm not there yet, you know. Yeah. And you were wanting to go into this for your own journey, I'm sure. But also now it's your life's work and your career. So so what, for folks listening, your program is not as edgy, but it still will be edgy for people. So if they want to sign up for your program, what do they do? Where do they go?
Yeah, so they can go to my website at lovelegacycoaching.com.
Lovelegacycoaching.com. Got it. Love that.
And then look under the services tab for 12-week metamorphosis. Mm-hmm. And also my Instagram at Behold the Beloved.
Behold the Beloved. Yeah. I like these. Oh my God, these are all like, oh, my heart loves these. And then you're on Facebook as well. All things.
Samantha Helm, Saint, S-T-Elk, S-E-L-K.
Okay.
Samantha Helm, Saint Elk.
Okay, got it. And then you, for the group work, and then you also do one-on-one work too for people if they want that as well?
Yes, I do, which we do. It's not as in-depth as the program. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is. But I love the program feel because I love having all the women doing this work together at the same time. I love doing the one-on-ones because we really go deep in our sessions together as well. I also give you pre-recorded audios to do at home and home play for you to work on by yourself.
I feel like the one-on-one's great. But the group work's like a deep dive. Like, I'm all in. Because something you're talking about, the consistency, that's a great way. And then you get the community. You get to hear about other people's experiences, their trials and tribulations. You feel connected. You feel seen. So I think that there's something extra powerful about that, especially right now, y'all. This is anyone's in COVID world listening where you feel disconnected from community. You're feeling like a lot of people don't have routine right now. Practices are really hard to do on their own. It's a really great opportunity to do this work, now or later, but especially right now, I think is a really valuable time.
Yeah, there's no time like now.
Yeah, the time is
the
right
present.
Now.
Yeah. So it really is intensive, and I've offered it before and it was 6 weeks and all the women asked it to
longer.
Be longer.
Yeah.
That's why I prolonged the modules to 2 weeks.
That's a good sign when people are like, more. That's some good testimonials right there. So awesome. So remind me again, say your website one more time.
Lovelegacycoaching.com.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come on your podcast. Your first podcast, by the way, you nailed it.
Thank you so much for having me,
Amy. Yeah. And the birds were chirping us on. There was a little bit of wind. I was like, maybe we should podcast outside more, especially when we're talking about embodied things. So, all right. Now to our listeners, we love you, April. We love April. You're not here right now. Perry, my dog, is looking me in the eyes. He loves you too.
Thank you, April.
Yeah. Thank you, April. Yeah. You two will get to meet at some point. I'm sure we'll be able to have more to talk about and do this again. And to our listeners, ad-free, but still, you can go onto iTunes and rate our podcast, because guess what that does for us? It makes us more searchable and more people find us. We are global. We're now over, I don't know, 80 countries in the world. It's amazing because we're going to places where people, there's so much shame about sexual pleasure, and they get to hear about this and learn this. They don't have sex positive sex shops and classes. And so go and review us, if not just for you and for us, but for the world. It's easy to do. Give us 5 stars. We love that. And give us feedback. And also you can say how we can do better too, because we love that too. So as April would say, she's not here, but we love you and ciao for now.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.